Good afternoon, Saints. This is Chloe DiPilato coming to you again from Windsor, Connecticut. It's March 8th in the year of 2017 of our Lord. And as is my custom now, I share something on Wednesday to upload to Facebook. And I'm trusting the Lord that this will be the last one that's going directly to Facebook, and that by next Wednesday, I will have my website far enough along that I can just upload to the website and then share with those who wish to receive these words. Last week, I talked about coming to the Lord and recognizing the state of original sin that we're in, and that's why we need a Savior, every single one of us. And after I had given that, I had thought, I'm going to share the next time on the love of God and considering the scripture in Jude where it says that we snatch some out of the fire, hating the garment even spotted by the flesh, but others we can love into the kingdom of God. So I wanted to love people into the kingdom of God so people won't think I'm a big, bad, mean bully. And had that pretty much in my mind, but a couple of days ago, two or three days ago, the Lord dropped into my spirit that I'm to share, just very simply, he said to me, talk about the church at Laodicea. So that's what I'm purposed to do today. And Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Lord. Your words are serious words, but they're also encouraging words, Lord. When you speak something that is a harder word or a more serious word, Lord, it's just that you can get us into alignment with your perfect will, which will, in the end, yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and that's a good thing. I thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies that you've shown to me very directly. And Father, I just pray that somehow, through whatever is shared today, that is what God's people will hear. Lord, in Jesus' name, if there be a burning, if there be a conviction, that, Lord, it will be a good thing, Lord God, like massaging a muscle, Lord God, that is tender and sore, but yet when you massage it, it feels better, even though it hurts. And Father, I just commit this to you, to your keeping, and I cover it with the blood of Jesus. I pray that it will not be misused or misinterpreted or misunderstood in any way. And Father, I pray that you and you alone, Lord Jesus, will be imparted. Not anything of my flaws and my imperfections and the things of myself, Lord, that I'm having to come to grips with and deal with personally, Lord Jesus, that, Father, all of that will be under the blood of Jesus, and that the word will be pure. These will be pure words. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen and amen. And so when I considered that the Lord wanted me to share on the Church of Laodicea, I know there's not a whole lot in the Bible about it, but of course, knowing my Bible, I did know that this was one of the churches that Jesus addresses in the book of Revelation. And I thought about that, the portion of scripture where the angel of the church of Laodicea writes, or where the Lord writes to the church of to the angel of the church of Laodicea. But I also recall that Paul mentioned the Laodiceans. And I've heard people say, well, you know, we don't have the whole Bible because what about the book that Paul wrote to the Laodiceans. Well, I found something interesting today as I was doing a little bit of research and praying over this word, that Paul had written to the Colossians, that was a city that wasn't too far from Laodicea, and he told the people in Colossians that they should share this word with the people who were also in Laodicea. And let me just read this. And this is in Colossians 4, 13 through 16. And our main thoughts will come out of Revelation 3. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke the beloved physician and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Now, this is the phrase that I want you to catch, believing that this is inspired of the Holy Spirit, and that from means from, and two means two, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, doesn't say to read the epistle that was to Laodicea, but the epistle that was from Laodicea, which makes me wonder if there was some kind of a dialogue going on between Paul and Laodicea that they wrote to him, maybe about church problems or church doctrine or whatever they were feeling, whatever was touching their lives. Maybe, just maybe, this is conjecture, of course, and a Bible scholar would probably be able to tear what I'm saying apart, but just something for speculation, the epistle from Laodicea. Now, let's go to Revelation 3. And Lord, I just pray that your anointing would be upon this word, Lord, that you would bring understanding in Jesus' name. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write. One thing about this portion of scripture where Jesus is addressing the churches, every single one, he writes to the angel of the church. Doesn't say he writes to the church of the Laodiceans, but he writes to the angel of the church. Angels are messengers, and without going into a whole lot of explanation, I have heard it preached, no reason I shouldn't believe it, but that angels were messengers, and many believe that these are the pastors of the church. Now, whether this is something just in the realm of the spirit, or whether this is angels, meaning pastors and shepherds of churches, this is definitely speaking to those who had an authority over the household of faith, wherever it was. And people can explain these letters to the churches in terms of different periods of time throughout church history and can trace it that way. I've heard people who can look at these, and I can identify myself personally which church I feel that I am most prone to resemble in both my strengths and in the issues I have and in the places where the Lord's got to help me and make me an overcomer. And I think a lot of people can do that. There's different ways that people see these churches and how the Lord talks to them and how we can be overcomers. But unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, who of course is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm sharing is going to be probably more for people in ministry and pastors than anyone else. What authority do I have to do such a thing? I don't feel like I can always be qualifying myself as a servant of the Lord, having a right to share what I share. Either the anointing is here and the unction of the Spirit is here, or it's not here. And if there's no anointing, just throw it out, pass over it, trash it, whatever. I did have a word as a young woman in my 20s, I got the same prophecy four different times in actually two different places, but the four different times through four different respected prophets whose names you would recognize. It was that I would have the word of the Lord for those in authority, those in the government, those in high places, and especially for pastors and preachers. So I come to you just with a spirit, I pray, of an entreatment, not a rebuke, not a telling anybody what to do, but just asking you to consider that what I'm saying might possibly be the Lord speaking to your heart, speaking to your spirit. And in the way of preparation, and of course I believe if you are a pastor or if you are in the work of the ministry and you've read your Bible, of course you have read your Bible through. If you're in the work of the ministry, if you are a true servant of God, a true shepherd, a true prophet of God, you have read your Bible through from cover to cover. That doesn't mean you remember everything in it. Doesn't mean everything's stuck. does mean that things that the Lord has made real to your heart have been quickened in your spirit, and he's brought them alive. And I cannot believe that any person who calls themselves a pastor or a shepherd or calls themselves a prophet to God's people has not had two prophetic chapters of Old Testament prophets go deeply into your soul, go right down into the depths and talk to you. Just in the course of my reading this past week, I'm in the book of Jeremiah. I came upon Jeremiah 23. This is a word where the Lord is speaking to shepherds and to prophets and to false prophets. I don't remember if he uses the term false shepherds. But anyway, a word of correction and a word of just a serious word that anyone who calls himself a shepherd or a prophet needs to take to heart. And I believe if you take those words in Jeremiah and Ezekiel to heart, and you allow them to work within your spirit, and you allow them to be a guideline for you in the work of the ministry, you do not ever have to worry. And I feel like I'm saying this by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. You do not ever have to worry that you will be pastoring a Laodicean church. You don't have to worry. You'll be pastoring a Laodicean church. Now, the Laodiceans, I looked up that what that means when I was reading Colossians. I wanted to see exactly what does Laodicea mean, because in the Bible, names usually mean something, especially in the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament. Looked it up, and it means justice of the people. And to me, that is speaking that the Laodiceans were a church that were probably being more controlled by a people-pleasing ministry than by the Holy Spirit. More controlled by powerful people in the flock or in the church who wanted things a certain way. And for some reason, there was a priesthood or a ministry that was intimidated by church people, intimidated by powerful people in the flock, maybe givers or whatever. And so, and I believe intimidation comes when there's something not quite right in your own life. And I can speak to this one personally. I know that when I have been most personally intimidated, it's been when there have been personal issues in my life that I could not be like the righteous, walking as bold as a lion, not turning aside for any. There's something about having everything right in your life, knowing that you're responding rightly to conviction, that causes you to be able to walk uprightly and causes you to be able to walk without fear in the face of intimidation and controlling spirits. Now, a whole lot has been said about ministries that are controlling. There's the shepherdship movement that did a lot of damage. But what we're seeing now is almost like the direct opposite. What we're seeing now in the theatrical church, which I always bring up the theatrical church just about every time I speak, both the good and the bad. But in the theatrical church, I believe we're seeing with the seeker-friendly movement, we're seeing ministry always conform itself to what's going to make people happy and what's going to make people pleased with what you're doing. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Here we go. This is the Laodicean church. This is the prime identifier of the Laodicean church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What makes a lukewarm church? a lukewarm church, what makes lukewarm water? It's mixing cold water with hot water. What makes a lukewarm church is when the ministry dilutes the fire of conviction. When the ministry does not allow the word to go forth in purity and in burning so that it can burn up the dross. Jesus, help us. Because thou sayest, and I see so strongly in so many of present day, the seeker-friendly church model, I see very strongly this verse, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How many churches are there now that they're almost like a market? They're a marketplace of spirituality and religiosity. They have something for everyone. They've got all sorts of goods. They've got merchandise. Not only do they have merchandise, they just have everything you need. Everything's right at your fingertips. And from the outward appearance, it looks really good. But then you have the Lord saying that it's not what it appears outwardly. It's not what it appears to man. It's not the same as what it appears to man. Say, you're in the position of saying, I don't need anything. It's all here. I have it all. Got good teaching, got good word, got good preaching, got good music, got good prophecies, have it all. And then the Lord says, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? What does the Lord say we have to do? He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Where are you willing to pay the price? Where are you willing to pay the price to get the true gold of the kingdom? If it's not costing you something, man of God, woman of God, if there's not somewhere where you're having to pay a price, and maybe that price you have to pay is the loss of some people who really know how to be good givers, but they also know how to be very controlling. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now the gold is the righteousness, is righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Are we willing to buy it? Are we willing to pay for it? Jesus paid for it. What are we willing to do that is the same as what Jesus did? How much are we willing to follow him in the way he walked? And the willingness that he was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to speak the hard word of the Lord. He could have said, going through that whole garden experience, and when you read chapters like, I think it's John 6, when he said, he brought down the message to that point of reality, where he said, except ye eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no part in me. There were groups who followed him up to that point, and then he was only left with his disciples, and he said, are you going to leave me also? And Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You want to be rich in life? Be willing to hear the harder word of the Lord. Be willing to speak the convicting word of the Lord, so you're not a cold church, so you're not a lukewarm church. Now, I could go into hot or cold, but I'm just going to stick with the hot, because anybody who's listening to me, I really believe there is a heart to be on fire for God. I don't think I'm talking to cold people. I'm talking to either hot people or lukewarm people. And I see where there's been lukewarmness in my own soul, and I'm dealing with it. I'm stopping because I just lost my scriptures that I was speaking out of, but here we go. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. It's so sad that people don't see their true condition spiritually. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Are we willing to go through the fires? Are we willing to stay in the place where the Lord is dealing with us until we know he's done a thorough work? And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And I really believe, as I'm saying again, this all comes when the ministry does not depart from speaking the convicting word, and you can't speak the convicting word if your shepherdship is not honorable and according to what the Lord has laid out, not only the New Testament scriptures of what God expects of shepherds. Of course, if you're a pastor and a preacher, you know them all too well. You know what the flock, what you deserve and what you expect from the flock in the way of their loyalty, in the way of their submission, of the way in the way of their obedience. But just refresh yourself in Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34, that you know what the Lord expects of you as the angel over the church, as his messenger to the church. That the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see, that thou mayest see. Then he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We're living in such a time that people just don't want to hear stuff like this. From the pulpit, right out the back door, people do not want to hear this type of word. They want to hear that the love of God just totally wipes away any sense of spiritual review, any sense of spiritual accountability, any sense of discomfort, any sense of conviction. I'm appalled at some of the things I read, and my heart goes out to these people, because I know that they've just gotten weary in the battle, and it is a battle. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. We used to have a brother that used to sing that in church, and it is. It seems like it's just one thing after another that we're going through. But these dealings of the Lord yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. If you want to be on fire, if you want to be hot and not cold, you can't do away with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can't say, I don't want this part of the faith. You can't say, I'm just not going to take that part. I'm just going to dismiss that part of it all. You can't do that. If you do that, you're going to be smack dab in the middle of the Laodicean lukewarm church. I'm agreeing with Jesus. I'm counseling you to buy gold tried in the fire. Have I bought gold tried in the fire? This isn't about me. I hope that I have. In Jesus' name, Lord, have mercy. Please have mercy on my soul. I want to be one who's willing to pay the price to buy the gold tried in the fire. I want the real substance. I want the real thing. I don't want just pasted on sequins. I want this work of God sewn into my soul, stitched in to the fabric of my being. I don't want to just be costume jewelry. I want to be the real thing. Don't you want to be the real thing? You can get out of the Laodicean church. You can get out of her. If you're in the Laodicean church, pray for those who are also there with you. Pray for the man of God who's over you, the pastor, that he'll have a deep experience with God in Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34 so that that man of God is not intimidated in 1 ounce to speak the truth in love to you, to speak the fire of God into your soul that will change your life. Now, as I think about these things, this is how my mind works. I look at scriptures like, in the last days, he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And then I think, well, if he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, why do we need to be concerned about these words that hone in on those who are going to be hot or cold? Why do we need to be concerned? Because God has a remnant in the earth. You want to be part of his remnant. You don't want to be just a part of the big picture. The whole earth is going to see and have the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Everybody will know about the Lord. Everybody will know about Jesus. Everybody will know about his saving power. Everybody will have to acknowledge it to some measure. I'm not preaching a universalist message here, but I'm just telling you, there's not going to be one soul who doesn't know this truth. But not everyone is going to be a part of the elect. Not everyone is going to be a part of a remnant. That is going to be for those who delight themselves in the harder truths of God's word, in the deeper words, who want to take it into their being, who want to be transformed and changed by the glory of God. From glory to glory, he's changing us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then you say to me, well, what difference does it make? Because God's going to change everybody on the way up. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. When we see Jesus, we'll all be like him. Beloved, there are rewards. There are rewards for those who pay the price. There are glorious rewards in the kingdom of God. Not everybody is going to receive the same reward. Just like last time I spoke, I said that not all sinners will receive the same punishment, that some will receive more stripes than others. Well, I'm telling you, in the kingdom, not everybody is receiving the same rewards. You said, well, that you're working for your salvation. No, you're not working for your salvation. It's a free gift. All you needed to get saved, all you needed to get born again, is the blood of Jesus cleansing you from your sin. That is all you needed, and the door to heaven opened. But once you get into that pearly gate, if you're going to be closer to Jesus, closer to the throne room, if you're going to have the rewards, if you're going to have more bricks in your mansion or more jewels in your crown so that you can cast it at Jesus' feet, however you want to, whatever analogy you want to use in this thing, the rewards come through obedience and service. There are rewards. And we want the rewards. We don't want to just make it in. We don't want to just behold the glory of the Lord throughout the whole earth. Although I do want those things. And we'll even see the glory of the Lord in the seeker-friendly churches. You'll see the glory of the Lord in bars and in shopping malls. There's all sorts of testimonies of how God is out in the marketplace now. And you can't go anywhere where you might not encounter something of God's presence and God's glory. But as for you as an individual, don't you want the fullness of all that God has for you? The Laodicean church, I'm sure that in that church, there had to be some of the remnant. I believe every place you go, there's some of the remnant. In the theatrical church, which is the big picture, that is the church of our day. It's the Laodicean church. But in that place are people who are more hungry for God, more seeking out God. That's the part you want to be. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to take hold. It is in the Laodicean church. The remnant is in the Laodicean church. The remnant's outside the Laodicean church. There's some people who wouldn't darken the door of a Laodicean church because of a conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I respect that. Now, recently I shared something on Facebook where I gave two extremes, and just chiding them a little bit for being too extreme. But I'll tell you, maybe God's not chiding them as much as I do, because they're either hot or cold. They're not just right in the middle in the lukewarm position. You don't want to be in that lukewarm position. You want to be hot. You want to be on fire. If you're going to be on fire, you have to respect and allow Holy Ghost conviction to come. That's where the fire of God is. If you don't want to be cold, allow Holy Ghost conviction to come. Listen to me. As a servant of the Lord, as a Christian, and I'm talking about you, not me. I'm talking to me too, but I'm saying, as you are a servant of the Lord, as you are a conviction, as you've had an intimate walk with the Lord, think back to the time when you experienced conviction. Just God dealing with your inside, and you struggled and you felt the pain of it. You felt the burning of it. When God got through, wasn't that the most glorious time in his presence? When God got through and you came to grips with what he had to say to you? I believe the flaming swords in front of that tree of life that you have to go past to get to the tree of life, it's the Holy Ghost, fiery spirit of conviction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I was going to share a little personal anecdote here, but I'm feeling a little bit of a check. But I'll tell you, God, I'm not going to give the story, but I'm going to tell you that God brought me face to face when I was a young woman in my 20s with verse 18, where he showed me, or verse 17 and 18, where I saw myself in those verses. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I will never forget it. I had a dream, and when I woke up from the dream, the Lord said to me, read Revelation 3. And that dream was explained in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I've had to go back again and again to buy gold tried in the fire because I want to be rich toward God. Don't care if I'm ever rich in this world. Would be nice. Got a lot of things I'd like to do in my house. I'd like to do some remodeling, and this is not a plea for money. I don't even give out my address, so don't worry about that. But just saying, I want to buy gold tried in the fire. Now, Jesus loves us. Yes, he does. It says right there, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. I want to even just go a little bit further. I got pulling up my gateway here. Where are we? Okay, I got to go to Revelation 3. I was in Revelation 2. We don't need to go too long. Okay. Verse 20, right after that passage of scripture to the Laodiceans, those who are not hot and not cold, but lukewarm because they've gotten a watered down word. They're not getting a fiery, convicting word to transform them and change their lives and cause them to buy gold tried in the fire and white raiment, that they'll be clothed and not naked. And then we come to verse 19, as many as I love. Oh, and that scripture, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. That we can go down that road another time, but praise God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. And then, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who has Jesus been talking to? He's been talking about to the angels who are to deal with their churches, the messengers, the pastors of the churches who are to help God's people to get the word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any church hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I'll come into that church and will sup with that church, and that church will sup with me. Is that what it says? No, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Beloved, in every church, there are going to be those who are going to take a hold of what the Lord is saying. They're going to hear the voice of the Lord at the door of their spirit, and they're going to receive him, and they're going to say, come in, Lord. I'm receiving what you have to say. Don't care about what the person next to me is doing, or sitting behind me, sitting in front of me, or the person who forgot to show up for church. Don't care what they're doing. But I know that you're standing at the door. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And you're knocking, and I'm hearing your voice, Lord. And I'm allowing you to come in. I want to sup with you. I want you to sup with me. That's the beginning, the first place that leads to us being overcomers. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear. Now it's not just talking to the angels anymore. It's talking to anybody who has an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We could go through all those churches, but that's not what God told me to do. God told me to talk about the Laodicean church, the church where they're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Lukewarm because there's not a convicting word. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, that you do speak to us, you deal with us, you love us so much, Lord. Father, you want us to present every man perfect, God. Your words come searing and hot off the press, Lord, because when you get done, we're going to be the best gold tried in the fire, Lord. And Father, we're not going to be naked, but we're going to be clothed in white raiment, Lord Jesus. And we're going to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, I especially pray for pastors, Lord, and shepherds and prophets, Lord, who you've commissioned to speak into the life of your church, who you've commissioned as overseers, Lord, that, Father, they will get a fresh revelation of Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34, that you'll bathe them in these scriptures, Lord, and that you'll pour in the wine and the oil to help them, Lord God, where they've been fearful, Lord, where they haven't gotten it quite right, which is causing their own ministry to be dimmed, Lord, causing them to be easily intimidated by powerful people in the flock. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd send your help, you'd send your encouragement. Lord, I'm reminded, Father, of how in John 17, Lord, you prayed for your own. You prayed for your disciples, Lord. Father, you prayed for those who would learn through their words. Then you prayed for the church in general. But God, how you prayed for your disciples, Lord, which would be those who you've commissioned to put over you, over the flock. They're the first disciples, the first apostles. We pray for those ones, Lord, like you pray for them, Lord. That, Father, you would just help them, Lord, everyone this day who's doing your work out of sincerity and honesty, caring for the flock of God, that, Lord, you would pour in the wine, the oil, pour in strength. Father, give them words, Lord, that will be heard, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, when they have to speak a corrective word, that, Father, it would come on wings of your love, Lord God, and that, Father, that they would be justified because they have been willing, Lord, to be the first partakers, Lord, of the fruit, Lord, as the husbandmen, that they have been the first partakers of the fruit, the first partakers of your discipline, Lord. I just pray for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray that your people who are so hard on your ministry, Lord, and on your servants, Lord, would just cut them some slack, Lord. Even myself, Lord, where I've been hard on ministry, Lord, and quick to see what's wrong or quick to see the flaws in a ministry, that, Lord, you would give me a spirit, Father, of understanding, Lord. Father, I wasn't raised in a church home. I wasn't raised by a pastor. Father, I'm not a preacher's kid, Lord, so I don't know what maybe some preacher's kids know. I don't know the battle. I don't know the fires that they walk through. I don't know, Lord, a lot of things. I do know from having a missionary grandmother. I've seen some of it, Lord. I've seen some of the trials that a ministry goes through. But, Lord, whether I've had the experience or not, I know what your word says, Lord. I know that we're to honor those who are over us in the Lord. I know that we're submit to those. We're to submit one to another, Lord God. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, God, that you'd help your people to just get it right. Lord, there's so much in your word to teach us and transform us. God, you're changing us from glory to glory into your image. And we want to be not a part of just the big picture. We want to be part of a holy remnant, Lord. Father, that will eventually even be the overcomers, Lord, because we receive your word. We receive what you have to say. And we avail ourselves to truth, Lord. And we avail ourselves to all the processes of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Father, if there's anyone who has listened to this word who does not know you and is a little bit mystified by all I'm saying, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them as Savior. We must first, before we can make you our Lord, we have to make you our Savior. And no man can say that you're Lord except by the Holy Ghost. So I pray that you'd also reveal yourself in the Holy Ghost baptism to people. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your loving kindness. Amen and amen.